The Tuesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks, 434-1790, 266-4862, has been inundated with pictures and videos from the north, Spitestone. That huge drain seems to be hit with a lot of water. Baxter's Road, the city center, the city center mall area. St. Lucie, I'm told, is flooded, so we have widespread flooding or extreme conditions being experienced across Barbados. The Ronald Map Highway in areas there as well. I'm told there is water. I didn't have a chance to check River Road, but let's hope it's not a river out there. Don't want to be shocked when I go outside. But please, please, people, I'm urging you. A motor car is not a motor boat. And because you have a double cab and because you're a little way up in the air, you know, you are not the HMBS Trident. That's underwater. So, Trident still above water. Anyway, you're not any of the Coast Guard vessels. Please be courteous. Sometimes gratings in the road move, potholes are expanded, and you may get a shock. Or you may lose a shock. The other thing is, motor car companies in Barbados, the car dealerships, said they will stop washing car engines because water gets into the electrics and spoil it. So if you have electrics in your car, don't test it by having water splash up under the engine unless the bottom of your car is completely sealed. Try not to do it. I saw a discussion online with the transport board, and the chief operations officer was talking about Wi-Fi working and so on. And I asked how the buses were coping with the water. I didn't get an answer from the lady herself. Good morning, Linda. But I got a good afternoon. I got a message from a driver who said to me that there is a protocol in place. If the water is of a certain level, they're not supposed to go through it. But if the water is just, you know, on the road surface and the vehicle is high enough, they have to stop, take their speed down, and, you know, go through the water. Notice the fellas driving them a little faster, though, than they used to when they first came out. And those persons who were saying they were so quiet that you couldn't hear them, you need to listen to them. You can hear them now. At least I hear them. Perhaps my hearing is just getting better because my eyesight might be dimming. Anyway, Wildy underwater, Baxter's Road underwater. Take it easy out there, okay? Westmoreland bottom, water. Motorists should be very careful. Is the advice coming from those online? Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dennis.
Yay.
John Alfadmore of the Sanitation Service Authority.
Yes, sir.
Yes, as we are making our patrols around Barbados, mm-hmm. It's sad, but due to the heavy rainfall, we have to discontinue most of our services, especially those in the north part of the island. And then as we come central and even the southern part, there will be lots of disruption because at the end of the day, we have to make sure that man and then equipment, that they're safe. We, as I speak to you, I'm driving through some flood belt. Yeah, it's called flooding, heavy rainfall in the central part of Barbados as we get back into Bridgetown. What we are realizing, though, and this is something we want to urge Barbadians to do, not only for today, but as we go to the future. What there is heavy rainfall, we prefer that you keep your garbage on the inside of your property, because once the garbage is on the outside, especially if you don't have it in a can, it will make its way into the drains, it will block the drains, and that will lead to flooding. We've had cases where a lot of those coconut vendors who did not remove the shells from, let's say, Sunday, they are in there, and some of these shells did make their way onto the road, causing a bit of blockage to some areas. A can as well is a weapon during heavy rainfall. and during hurricanes, your can is your property. Therefore, we want to urge you to secure your property at source, because the can go into the road, cause an accident, even go and block drains. This flash warning is to be taken seriously, and we want to urge Barbadians to take heed as well, visit as well, because even from us driving around, it is causing some delays and a lot of our projects that we had on schedule to continue today, we have to disband it because of what is happening with the rain, Dennis.
Let me thank you for joining us, Alf. Let me just say to you, Mr. Padmore, let me call you by your correct name since you're in your official capacity. Here's my challenge, and I'm sure the challenge of persons out there. One, if you are accustomed to garbage collections on certain days, people usually put their garbage out and may have done so this morning before the skies opened and the rains came down. And when the skies opened and the rains came down, those persons who are either A, not at home, or B, not going out, will then find themselves in the situation that you outlined, where the garbage they put outside in plastic bags and other types of containers being washed down the streets and into the road and across the road and causing a hazard to traffic and to our drains and blocking up various areas. Which brings me to the point of a published, reliable schedule from the Sanitation Service Authority that is regularly updated or changed as the circumstances warrant, because you are employed as the public relations person, and therefore I know that's what you try to do. So how far away are we, or how close are we, to having a regularly published schedule so that persons don't put out garbage because they're accustomed doing so? And that's those who do that. There are others who just put it out anyhow because they don't want it by them, or they don't want it in their house. So how close are we, how far away are we from that?
Good. I want to thank you for that question and then also the statement at the end, because only yesterday we had a meeting with the Minister, Adrian Ford, the Minister of the Environment, and we are very close of having that schedule settled. Both, we want to get it in soft copy and maybe best on soft copy. We have it on the different social media platforms. We're tweaking it because, as you would understand as well, some of those areas that would have been, let's say, in one depot might have shifted because we would have realigned boundaries. It happens with even different things. So we are adjusting that, and we are close. I can tell you that is almost 85% ready. It's just that we did some test runs over the last couple of weeks to see how smooth that is going. That is why a lot of places in Barbados, because of regular collection, of non-service has been reduced, and they're getting regular collection. There's some places in Barbados that can almost tell you like clockwork today. And we are using those as a model to see how we can get the rest of Barbados online. We are well in our 30s in terms of our trucks on the road, which is a far cry in this from when I was calling you and telling you we only had 12 trucks on the road. So we have an average of high 20s urges. In terms of someone like a Dennis Johnson or Padmore might leave home early and would have placed their garbage in the bin, anticipating that the collection might have been today, Dennis' bin and Padmore's bin should have had a suitable cover.
Not only that, they have holes punched in the bottom of mine.
Yes, good, right. So what will happen? Two things will happen. With the cover at the top, then the garbage won't just fly out like that. And the holes at the bottom, if some water gets in, it would run straight out. And when we get back home, all we have to do is then take it on the inside, because the garbage inside should be dry. Because actually, when the rainwater mixes with the garbage, that's where you get that leachate, or what people will call that smelly juice that comes out of the bin. So what we're saying to you, to even avoid that to make sure that your bin has a suitable cover. In fact, that is within the Health Services Act, that every dwelling house in Barbados must have a garbage can. That's the act, that's the law. It has been here from the 70s, and it speaks to that.
Well, let me tell you another reason why I've punched a hole in the bottom of mine. Because if the water level rises to the point where it gets to where the garbage bin is, by the way, water could still get into it. Now, there are lots of houses in Barbados that have been built with a special area for their garbage so that it can be accessed by the persons on the road. And those who have cans on the ground in some areas, and I can tell you of one that I know of in particular, where they've gone so far as to put a hook to keep it affixed to a post so that marauding dogs in the night that like to climb into plastic garbage bins don't overturn it and spill the contents all over the street. Because that has happened too, because persons who like to let the animals out to roam at night, that happens. Here's the thing though, Alf, Mr. Padmore, sir. I think it is time that in addition to posting your schedule when you get it done, is that Corporate Barbados, the Sanitation Service Authority, and concerned neighbors and neighborhoods get together the same way we had promotion of tanks for people to store water, that we start a campaign of adequate garbage collection receptacles, even if they want to put advertising on it, you know? Dirt hurts, keep Barbados clean, and print it on the side nice, SSA and your logo and thing, and put it, give it, you know, share it with the neighborhood. If people want to buy it, let them buy it. Those who can't afford it, let's assist them to get it. We have to work on this collection of garbage, proper disposal of garbage issue. It has been going on for too long. We've heard too many comments. There have been too many fires at the dump, too many outbreaks of various illnesses because of improper sanitary collection of garbage and disposal of garbage in Barbados. If we are to be a first world country, let's start acting like one. Get rid of this problem once and for all.
Yes, we support you. There's a gentleman called Mr. Kinch from up just in the corridor there of Miami Beach Enterprise. He did donate some stickers with some interesting messages. One such message is love BIM, use the bin. Love BIM, use the bin. And we have these now, and we are distributing these to individuals. It's a nice bumper sticker. It can go on your can. It can go on a pole. So we are on point with you with what is happening as well. And Jose, what they actually have done now is put some communal bins in some areas of the St. Michael corridor as well. So we support what you're saying, and we would want to urge other companies as well. You may want to come on board to donate some cans to the SSA. You may want to come on board to help us take this fight into communities. We welcome you. The garbage situation in Barbados belongs to us. It doesn't belong to a government. It doesn't belong to a minister. All of us then get together. That's why we have launched recently the Clean Green campaign, where we are cleaning up areas, then we're greening it, and we're going in there with a whole set of education so that the community understands that if we clean this area for you and you own the area, it is up to you now to care for that area. Yes, Dennis?
Okay, sir. I thank you very much. And I'm getting reports from people who said they expected a pickup yesterday. They put all the garbage today. I suppose that's a couple of those who will have the garbage floating down the water, or with the water, let me put it that way. 4341-790-266-4862 is our WhatsApp number. You can send a message to that number, and you can call us on 4341-790. John Stout is our technical operator producer. Dennis Johnson, your host. We go until 2. Good afternoon. Hello? Brass X, good afternoon.
Right. Dennis?
Mm-hmm.
I called to respond to what I've Padmore tell you so thoroughly about the coconut vendors leaving the house by the side of the road and it washing down in the drain, as well as the homeowners and things.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the first thing Alf Padmore should do is look within his ministry, because they are the greatest perpetrators of this situation. Because for this whole week I've been complaining, and not only now, I have been, well, I mean complaining to who is close to me, but I mean, I've come on the radio time and time again and talk about the ministry, the beautification, cutting grass from the side of the road and leaving it there in heat to wash down and to go into the drains, blocking the drains all the time. This morning, when I was getting my daughter to school, I could see young ladies down in the Maxwell area. And this was going on, I saw it yesterday, it was last week. Cutting this grass and just leaving it there. And today, now, all that grass that they cut is just going to wash down into the drain. So I feel like I have bad morality to speak to Adrian Ford, who placed these people along the roadway to cut the grass. Speak to Adrian Ford, his minister, and let the minister not only get constituents or whoever he's employing to cut the grass, or they're cutting the grass, they're weeding it, because they got holes like in the olden days. Weeding up the grass, putting it in heat, it washing down, blocking all of the drains. So I'm wondering how comes he's not seeing that and he can see the home. You got to deal with your problem at home first, and then you can venture out and tell other people other things. That's all they got to contribute today, Dennis.
Okay, sir. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Mr. Johnston, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, sir.
I want to ask you, or at least do it while talking to you, now that we've got this, what we call flooding, there's some motorists who are not considerate in terms of the pedestrians or the cyclists.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some cyclists and some pedestrians who arm themselves for that. That is to say that they expect that they would be splashed, and in terms of being splashed, they want to retaliate either with the rock that they have or whatever is in their hands. So I want to take this time out to appeal to those drivers to look out for the cyclists and the pedestrians and avoid that clash between themselves and the person in relation to being splashed. I think you're aware of this as well, sir.
So I would not like to think, I really try hard not to believe that we know, do not know how to travel through water. And I would also not like to believe that cyclists would arm themselves to retaliate, because that's only going to escalate into, I have a car that could hit you a lot harder than a bicycle could hit me. So, you know, we could have escalation that we really don't need. The unfortunate thing, though, however, sir, and this is what compounds the challenge that a driver faces, there are times when the level of water is misjudged, but that's driver error. But there are times when there are potholes covered by water, and the driver has no idea what's under the water. And when they go through it at a speed that is not consistent with the level of the road, they end up bumping into a pothole and splashing. The other thing is, the areas outside of bus stops or bus shelters, most of them are depressed. And water collects there. I was told it's because of the weight of the bus standing there over a period of time. That's what someone told me. Whether that's scientific or that's just, you know, people saying, I don't know. But if you check almost every bus shelter, there is a depression in the road. So if you know this, then when you're driving and people are standing under a bus shelter, slow down now. It only makes common sense to slow down. But as I said, you know, they don't give you a common sense test to pass the driver's license. So
I think what you've just said is perfect, Mr. Johnson. The fact of the matter is that you're traveling on a wet road.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know where the pothole is.
Right.
You don't know where the gully is.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see the cyclist.
You can see the person on the road. Yep, I agree. As I said, unless you drop into a hole that you didn't see and the water flies, just cut your speed. It makes sense to do it.
I would think they must drive with caution and understand fully that we don't have at least glass roads. We have situations where things are unexpected. But the pedestrians sometimes, like a mother taking her child to school and then eventually got splashed, she's not going to feel happy.
Agreed.
and the person drive on. I also want to mention, I heard you this morning. I want to know if this is so. What you call it? When there's a program that the station does not.
The recorded programs that talk about miracle healings. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I heard
the disclaimer.
A disclaimer. I heard you say that they're now in the process of looking at this situation to put.
Correct. The broadcast authority sent a notice. I think it was printed in the newspaper as well, that said they are looking at this whole situation of miracle cures being advertised on the radio, and that the use of disclaimer is not enough, because I mean I am sure you would know that radio stations are not allowed, for example, to carry the horoscopes, something they used to do at one point, but the broadcast authority discontinued the practice of radio stations carrying horoscopes because they said it's fortune telling and forecasting, and that's not allowed. Black magic, voodoo, etc. came into play. And I always question how come the radio stations can't do it, but the newspapers print horoscopes daily.
Yeah,
and they also print people who could read your palm and tell your future, and Swami this and body that, and various other people advertise openly in the newspaper. But apparently they operate under a different set of circumstances to radio stations. But radio stations not allowed to do it.
I think in fairness, though, you're perfectly right, because there's so many red hands on the classified page.
I just turned that page. I don't check anymore.
You don't miss it. So I think that it's good to hear of the disclaimers.
It is not enough, though. Right. I wait to see what the outcome is. Because, look, radio stations, it says, therefore, that the power of radio is acknowledged by the guardians of radio, the broadcast authority. And I heard you on the program when I was producing making a comment that I kind of chuckled at, because you were talking about the censorship board. And I laughed,
yeah,
because a censorship board in today's environment is a useless tool. It doesn't make any sense, because most of the X-rated videos are not in the cinema. Most of the X-rated material on the radio is bleeped out and edited out. The real, raw, triple X and quadruple X and multiple X videos are available on everybody's phone, tablet, computer, and changed all over the place. So a censorship board is like a busted condom. It don't do anything. Here's the challenge for me, however. The outlets at one point started putting X-rated magazines, or magazines that had pictures of naked women, into a plastic bag and sealing it off so that you won't be able to pick it up and look at it on the shelf. Okay, that was supposed to be what kept you from doing it. However, there were CDs on sale when people used to buy CDs, saying parental guidance, triple X material, but it didn't stop anybody from buying it, whether they were overage, underage, or otherwise. So the explicit marking on it did not mean it was not falling into the hands of people who you were trying to protect. So I think we just throw away all those things because they ain't working. They made no sense in today's environment.
Can I make one quick suggestion to you? Then within the crime and the law-abiding part of the country, that there should be a division. I think Trinidad has it. A division for that type of material being exposed, whether it be on video, or it's a way of controlling it in the sense that whoever is in the possession of a video with X-rated material, then there is a possibility that person can face a charge.
How you gonna find it? If I am sitting in my house streaming a triple X, blue movie, whatever color it is, I don't know, on my tablet, And I put it down to go in the kitchen and make a songridge. And when I come back, my seven-year-old not only advanced the picture, but rewind it, because they know which part they wanted to look at, because they were seated over my shoulder. What somebody who not in my house can do about that?
It was picked up on the street. I'm not talking about
it. Oh, if you pick up on the street. You mean if I offer it for sale by the side of the road? But they don't hold me for that. They just hold me for pirating. You see, the challenge with this, right, I keep saying, is how you apply the legislation. I keep hearing people all the time talk about, you know, we need to legislate this, and we need stricter laws, and we need to legislate that. The question is how it is applied, and then when it is applied, what happens? It is difficult, sir, because of something known as the internet. And because that's available all over, and by anybody, is difficult to control, real difficult. Unless, for example, business places put restrictions on what you could download on their computers. So it may be blocked. If you find ways to unblock it and they catch you doing it, provided the company you work with have sanctions for doing so, you may be sanctioned. But you'd be surprised how many people sit at home and do, or sit at work and do things on their computer that have nothing to do with work. There was a 311 radio show. No, there wasn't. It was in the newspaper where a fire prevention officer said they had a fire drill and they went into the office, and while they were trying to get people out, people were ignoring them because they were playing solitaire. I said so on air and got, I got to meet the officer. Let me put it that way. Look, sir, the horse bolt, it already run the garrison about four times, and they gone back to the paddock, and the legs get broken, but it run already.
But yeah. I have a quilt.
Or two. It's good to know that you're sharp, still. And can see it. Stay safe, my friend. Good hearing you.